Brothers and sisters, we acknowledge while we're here that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Receive the Lord's greeting. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let us now sing a response to the greeting of the Lord from Psalm 121. The stanzas 1 and 4, 121, 1 and 4. Now, the Church of all ages, profess our faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed, as it's put to music in hymn 1. Let us now humble ourselves before God in prayer. We'll pray. Father in heaven, what a privilege it is that we can be here in your presence again. And thank you, Father, for greeting us with your words of grace and peace. In a sinful, restless and broken world, you wish to embrace us. You wish to let us share in your peace. We praise you as our great creator and redeemer. We praise you for your wonderful works of creation. Your universe is immense. Your creation is so diverse and so intricate. And Father, we praise you as the one who upholds everything. sustains all life. Thank you for rain and sunshine, also for this beautiful sunny day we could enjoy. You show your faithfulness that you don't give up on us, but that you continue with us and your creation. Your works declare your glory. And Father, also with the disasters in this world, you keep speaking to us. Father, may those disasters get people to realize that this life is temporary, that we long for a new heaven, a new earth, a new paradise, paradise restored. And Father, may people realize that we of ourselves can't restore paradise, even though people often try to and thought they could. But you keep reminding us of our sinfulness. Father, we pray, will you grant that more and more people may get to realize that they need a Savior. And thank you for giving us this Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, will you bless us as we open your word again this afternoon. Bless the preaching of your word here and everywhere where you gather your people in spirit and truth. Open our hearts and make us receptive so we may accept your words, accept your promises, and live with you. Father, keep sin and distraction far from us. Bless all the offerings we hope to give. Hear us. In Jesus' name, amen. You now receive the opportunity to give your offerings to the Lord. The collection is for Children of Light. And let us sing after that from Psalm 103, verses 4 and 5. Let's now open the Word of God, and I want to read you from Psalm 139. Psalm 139, and the text will be the first section of Psalm 139. It's the verses 1 to 12, and we'll read the whole chapter. So we start with the text, Psalm 139, verses 1 to 12. For the chief musician, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought from afar. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. That's part of the text, and we'll continue to read the whole chapter. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men. For they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxieties. And see if there is a wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And we'll sing after the sermon from Psalm 139. The first six stanzas. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as Christians, we often face huge challenges. In our church community and broader church community, we're regularly confronted with sickness and death. Serious illness has a great impact on us and our loved ones. It can be devastating. The same applies for the loss of loved ones. There is then a huge void in your life. You face a huge challenge to continue with your life here on earth without your loved ones, who meant so much to you. Is not an easy task. Then there are also many other trials members experience. Everyone has his own story to tell, struggles to deal with.
We indeed live in a broken world. Our earthly existence is vulnerable, mortal. Our earthly possessions are insecure. And worse still, we ourselves are still sinful human beings. Even though I may have good intentions, I still daily sin against God and my neighbour. Sin continues to spoil God's good gifts, and the good people do. Beloved, how do we face the challenges ahead of us? To face the future with confidence, we need to shift our focus from ourselves and our circumstances to our God. As opposed to all my sin and shortcomings, as opposed to the corruption and decay of this world, we have our faithful covenant God, the rock on whom we can always depend. If you seek your refuge in him, you will not be ashamed. That you may face the future with confidence, whatever the circumstances. Brothers and sisters, David expressed such trust in the Lord in Psalm 139. The whole psalm is actually an elaboration of those first words, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. And that's also the theme of the sermon. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. And we'll consider 3 points. Firstly, what does this mean? Secondly, in day-to-day life. And thirdly, in this wide world. So, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. What this means in day-to-day life and this wide world. David prays, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. This means in the first place, Lord, you look straight through me. Nothing is hidden from you. You gauge my deepest thoughts and feelings. Today we know all about x-rays. With x-rays, doctors look beneath your skin, examine your internal organs, and can take pictures of it. In this way, they can look straight through you, so to speak. Sometimes you can be quite anxious about it. What will they find? Will they find something abnormal? A malignant growth, perhaps? With Psalm 139, you can imagine something similar. You have searched me, David says. Basically, the word means to dig. God digs deep into me, so to speak. He examines me thoroughly. He looks straight through me. And as a result of the investigation, he knows me inside out. Well, this can cause anxiety. Yes, isn't there every reason to be afraid? Who can tolerate such penetrating eyes of God? After all, I know that there are all kinds of evil things within me, sinful thoughts and feelings. Isn't it then a daunting thought that God looks right through me? Sometimes people think or say, it's good that no one knows what I think deep down, how I feel about certain things, what I dream about, how I sometimes experience my relationship with God. And what I'm actually saying then is, if you really knew it, then you would probably be so shocked that you would want nothing to do with me anymore. Well, if we apply this to God, this would mean if God knew everything about me, then he would be shocked and would want nothing to do with me anymore. A terrifying thought. Is that what the text implies? Thankfully, this is not the case. Just look at the name of him who searched me and knows me. The Lord, with capital letters, Yahweh, our covenant God. The God who presents himself as I am who I am. With that name, we usually think of God's faithfulness in the covenant. And that's certainly a very important element. But the name means more. It also speaks of the fact that God is active in the covenant. God isn't a passive spectator. He is actively involved with his people, with us, his children. The Lord not only comes with beautiful words of salvation, he also makes salvation a reality. He fulfills his promises. Beloved, when David mentions this name Lord, he thinks of God's redemptive works of the past. The covenant God had already proven himself to be who he is. Just think of the miraculous liberation out of Egypt, the house of slavery, and of the conquest of Canaan, the promised land. And today we may see a lot more. God's Son became man, born of the Virgin Mary. It's also been Good Friday, Easter, Ascension Day, Pentecost. The Lord made huge progress in his work of salvation. In Christ, he revealed himself very clearly to us, proving himself to be the God who seeks and brings about the redemption of his people, as the God who is near his people in Christ, our Emmanuel, as the God who lives and works in us through his Spirit. Well, of this redeeming covenant God, it is said, O Lord, you have searched me. You look straight through me. Would that be something we should fear? Should we be afraid because of the fact that he sees our sinful thoughts? Not if you know Jesus Christ and truly believe in him. After all, what was the reason for Christ to come here on earth to suffer and to die? Was it not to save us from our sins? Our covenant God wants to forgive our sins and wants to cleanse us from our sins, renew our lives. Just think of your baptism. And therefore, David does not mention God's omniscience, the fact that God knows everything, to frighten us. He mentions it to give us great comfort. David knows who it is who has searched him and knows him. He is not an insensitive inquisitor who wants to expose the truth without compassion. He is not the judge who seeks to punish us for our sins. No, he is our gracious covenant God. And therefore I don't need to fear. Therefore I can take comfort from God's omniscience. Yes, thankfully, he knows everything. Then he can also forgive everything. Put everything away forever from my shoulders so that sinful thoughts and dreams don't keep putting me down like an unbearable burden. Those sins I've done, those secret sins no one knows about except God. My Saviour, He knows about it. Thankfully. What a liberation it is to know that. However, brothers and sisters, if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, if you do not know your God, God as your God in Christ, then you indeed have every reason to fear His piercing eyes. When you secretly cherish sin in your hearts and do not want to break with it, it'll indeed be a terrible reality. Then you'll not be able to bear it that God looks straight through you. For then God would not look at you through Jesus Christ. He then has to charge you your own debts, including the hidden debt that comes to light before Him, our all-seeing God. Then you'll have to pay for your own sins. How terrible that would be. But beloved, when you by true faith are united to Christ, then you need not fear. God then looks at you in Jesus Christ. He then imputes to you not your own sin and guilt, but Christ's life and Christ's work, Christ's payment. And then you get comfort from God's thorough examination of your life. Beloved, David not only sings, O Lord, you have searched me, but also you know me. And in the covenant, that word to know is a wonderful word. It doesn't just mean that the Lord is aware of everything. No, this knowledge especially means that the Lord is interested in you, that He sympathizes with me, that He is touched by what I experience. The Lord is moved by the grief, struggle, brokenness, and distress of His children. This doesn't leave Him cold. It touches Him deeply. In all their affliction, He was afflicted, we read in Isaiah 63, verse 9. And thus I may say in faith, Lord, you have searched me and know me in love. The cares and struggles in my life don't leave you cold. You are not indifferent to the anxiety and uncertainty in which I live. You don't lose sight of me for a moment. You search and know me. Everything that touches me interests you. I'm never alone anymore. Even when I have to go through life without my child, without my parents, without my husband or wife, I never have to go without someone who really knows me inside out as someone who can help me. The Lord God, He's always actively present for my salvation. Well, beloved, in the rest of the psalm, David further elaborates on this theme, a theme that shows how rich we are in the covenant with God, in our relationship with God. In verses 2 to 6, he speaks of the ordinary day-to-day life. The Lord searches me and knows me in my day-to-day life. That's the second point. What do you do on a normal day? You start by getting up. You sit a bit. You walk a little. You stand. You travel. And when the day's over, you again lie down to rest. In the meantime, you think about all kinds of things and do all sorts of things. Essentially, your day-to-day life is a matter of sitting and rising up, going and lying down, thinking and acting. And therefore, David says, you know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. Yes, also my thoughts that I've not yet been able to express. Sometimes we don't even really know what we truly think, let alone that we're able to express that in words. But David says, even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You understand and know me better than I know myself, better than any other person can know me. You know all the things that I have in my mind, things that I worry about, things that keep me awake, things I just can't put out of my mind, concerns about my health or the health of loved ones, concerns regarding my children or grandchildren, anxiety and uncertainty regarding my work, my studies, my income, and whatever. You, Lord, you know it completely. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. You know my journey through life, all my actions and choices, also my sleep or lack of sleep. You know everything that affects me. You intimately know every detail of my life. Thus you alone truly know what I need. And you can give what I need. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. You protect me on all sides. Behind me, you cover my back. In front of me, you catch the blows for me, so to speak. You close your arms around me. You're also above me. You lay your hand on me. Well, you know that a child can sometimes feel very uncertain, confused in a great crowd. And what a peace and assurance this gives when that child feels the hand of father or mother. It gives a sense of security. You realize again that you're in safe, familiar hands. Well, that's how it is also with our Lord. During my confusion and insecurity, the Lord lets his presence be felt. He gives a peace that passes all understanding. I receive rest despite all the restlessness around me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too high, I cannot attain it. And maybe you think, beloved, it's easy for David to talk like this. What he says is in itself wonderful. But is it realistic? Can we speak of peace, confidence, when we face the hard and often disappointing reality of life? While we struggle to make ends meet? While we struggle to come to terms with the loss of a loved one? While we struggle with relationships, disturbed relationships, in marriage, in the family, in church or at work? While we face death, can we then sing such a song of peace, trust, confidence? Does David really know what goes on in everyday life? Does he know the restlessness and uncertainty of our existence here, of the issues that can get us down? Well, beloved, David is not at all out of touch with reality. Why is this psalm so powerful? It's precisely because the psalmist composes it against the background of the hard and painful reality of life. The psalmist is not someone who sings his song from a comfortable and safe position. When you read further, you notice that he's surrounded by men of blood. Verse 19. His life is in danger. He therefore has an open eye for the distressing reality of life. Yet he can sing in that dangerous, threatening situation. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. Why? Because in faith he accepts God's promises. God knows, David knows, that the Lord, the covenant God, is near him. Whatever situation he faces, wherever he goes in this wide world, the Lord is near. And thus we come to the third point. O Lord, you have searched me and know me, not only in day-to-day life, but also in this wide world. Third point. David continues, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? Wherever I go, your spirit will never lose sight of me. I can never escape you. No one can escape you. Your spirit is everywhere. The only way out is to flee to you, Lord, and to hold on to you. Because only with you I can find escape from the punishment that my sins deserve. Did you hear that? The only way out is to flee to God. To stay with God. Because only with him there is escape from the punishment we deserve. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. You are in control everywhere. In heaven and in Sheol, the place of the dead. You are present in both. What a comfort to believers who face death. God is there to take us home in heaven. It's as the Apostle Paul later writes in Romans 8 verse 39, neither height nor depth can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I take the wings of the morning, David says, and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. At dawn, we see the sun coming up. The sky and the earth are suddenly have light spreading over them. And even if I were to fly away at the same speed and settle down as far as I can in the west, I would not move out of God's presence. Even there, your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me, David says. No matter how far I'm removed from my earthly home, God wants to lead me as a shepherd and hold on to me as a father. Beloved, in our age of globalization, it may seem that the distance between the countries has fallen away. But in reality, those distances remain. You just need to have a loved one, for example, your parents or children living abroad. You can comfort yourself with the idea that you can fly to them within a few days or perhaps even one day. But the reality remains that the loved ones who stay overseas are far away. If something suddenly happens to them, that you can't be there immediately. You can't see and support them on a practical basis every day. The only real comfort is that God's hand holds them also where they are. They and we are never alone, wherever we are. Here at home, in a native country, or a new homeland, God is with us. And he guides us with word and spirit. Even in this wide world, he wants to hold us and lead us. And thus we can entrust each other to his care. Knowing this encourages us, even when we are separated from loved ones by great distances. There's no reason to fear, for God is omnipresent and he leads his children wherever they go. David continues, if I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines like the day. Yes, for us humans, darkness means isolation, loneliness. You stand alone. You can't see anything. You can't see anybody. And no one can see you. But however thick the darkness may be, it can never be so thick that God cannot look through it. For God, it is as if the darkness doesn't exist. It's like the light. And thus darkness can never separate from God. God created both light and darkness. And God is not dependent on them. God stands above them. The light of the sun, he doesn't need it. The darkness of the night doesn't mean he has to rest. He dwells in inapproachable light. He's light himself. No earthly light or darkness is necessary for him. What a comfort to know that our darkness is light to him. No matter how dark my path of life may be, it's light to him. And he can continue with his work for my salvation. In all things he is working for the good of those who love him. He continues to fulfill his plans and purposes also for me. Brothers and sisters, what a beautiful and comforting reality the text describes for us. It shows us the riches of the covenant, or that relationship we have with our God. Lord, you search and know me. In the ordinary day-to-day life, also in this wide world, there is no one who knows me like you do. You know what I need. You know it in love. And you're always and everywhere present to help and save me. You lead me and hold on to me. Would this not give me confidence as I face the challenges of life? Whatever the future has in store for me, and whatever the future may bring, wherever the future may bring me, the Lord goes with me as my mighty and faithful covenant God. Amen. Let's now sing a response from Psalm 139, 1-6.
some announcements on behalf of the Consistory to pass on. The Consistory with the deacons will meet, the Lord willing, 7:30 tomorrow evening. The congregation is reminded that nominations for office bearers are to be submitted to Consistory by 7:30 p.m. tomorrow. At a station be requested by Brother James Brewer to the Freedom Church of Byford, and home visits Reverend D. Anderson will receive a visit Tuesday at 8 p.m. And our prayer will also pray for our sister Postema Senior, who will be undergoing a knee operation on Tuesday. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we praise you for who you are and what you promise to be for us. Thank you for the encouraging words we received. We praise you as our covenant God, who's intimately involved in our lives, our all-knowing God. What a comfort it is to realize that you know us through and through. You know our struggles and challenges. You know how much forgiveness we need, to what degree we still need to be renewed. We commit our thoughts, struggles, lives to you. Grant your grace and power as we need it. We praise you not only for being omniscient, but also for being omnipresent. You're everywhere for the redemption of your people. You're also almighty to save. Thank you that no matter where we are, you wish to lead us as a shepherd and wish to hold on to us as our Father. On our own, we would stumble and fall. We'd lose direction and hope. All things we experience can easily become dark clouds that close in on us and overwhelm us. How wonderful it is to know that our darkness is not dark to you, but the darkness is as light with you. Father, we're in your hands. Continue to fulfill your plans and purposes with us, whatever our circumstances and wherever we are. Comfort and strengthen all those grieving the loss of loved ones, all those who struggle with huge challenges in their lives. May they experience your presence and power as they process their loss and challenges and try to understand and follow your ways. Father, we also pray for our sister Postema, who needs to undergo surgery this week. Will you guide the hands of the specialists? And may that operation be successful and give lasting relief. Father, we thank you also for medical care that we have in Australia. And will you bless that? And grant that through that medical care, we may realize how good you are for us and the opportunities you still give us. Father, will you equip and encourage the office bearers for their work? Thank you that you give them to us and that you wish to use them to keep us close to you. Give our pastor, Reverend Anderson, all he needs for his responsible task, so that he, together with the other office bearers, may do his work with joy and may see that you bless that work. May we all recognize you at work in our midst, even in our hearts and lives, and give you the glory. Be merciful to those who are drifting away from you and your word. Intervene in their lives. Soften their hearts. Work faith and repentance, so they, together with us, may rejoice in you and your salvation. May your gospel reach many in our country and abroad.
and grant that many more may be called out of darkness into your wonderful light. Bless the mission work we may support. Equip local pastors and mission workers, and may that work grow and bear fruit. Father, bless all of us as we apply our gifts. Make us fruitful as workers in your church and kingdom. Hear us in Jesus' name. Amen. Our concluding song is Psalm 139, verse 13. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go home in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.